Okay, 51552 is our text. Now, you may have seen the first episode on Thursday night of The Walshes. New sitcom went out in RT1. It was co-written by Graham Lenehan, he of Father Ted and the IT Crowd fame and comedy troupe Diet of Worms as well. The Walshes, a co-production with BBC and RT. I'm joined now by Niall and Shane from Diet of Worms, who as well as being co-writers are also two of the main characters in the show. So if you have any questions for the lads, isn't that what I usually have to say at this stage of the game, then you go right ahead. Actually, yeah, I'm just going to change something here while you two make a cup of tea. Hold on a second now, lads. There you go. Tell me, first of all, the reaction, first of all, have you been happy or not happy? By the way, I'm saying that, you think it's slightly loaded, because in this day and age of the internet age, you don't stand a chance. Nobody gets on tweet or starts tweeting after 5 minutes or 10 minutes if there's something nice to say anyway.
Absolutely.
So I'll tell you one thing, Graham never had to do this with Father Ted.
No, he's very lucky in that regard, yeah. No, we're really pleased with it. We got a, you know, we really like the show and I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's been largely positive. I went to the cinema on Thursday night. I didn't really sort of sit on Twitter all night, which is probably a good thing, because from what I've heard, I think from 11 seconds in, there was one or two people on sort of giving it a hard time.
Oh, it's going to be. By the way, what did you go and see in the cinema?
I went to see Dallas Buyers Club.
All right.
Yeah, it was very good. Uplifting.
Okay, for people who haven't seen it, what is The Walshes about?
The Walshes is about a fictional West Dublin family called The Walshes, believe it or not. The kids are in their 20s now and they can't move out for various reasons.
Mostly money,
yeah.
Well, that's not strictly true. The son wants to stay.
The daughter
is dying to get out.
That's the money situation. Exactly. She's kind of converted her bedroom into her own little flat. She's got a number on the door, and they leave the post outside.
She's got one of those locks on it too that you have to close the door to open it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
about claustrophobia, and claustrophobia. Sort of like about, you know, people who really love each other, but their sheer proximity to each other is proves an issue, which is where we try and derive all the comedy from.
Okay, everybody, like always, every time it comes to a band, everybody wants to put a band into a box. What kind of music is it in that? So people say, well, what kind of sitcom is it? I mean, I remember that there's so few sitcoms over the last 10 years compared to the previous 20 because of all the reality TV. A lot of people don't even know what they might have been missing or what they could refer it to. Could we go to say, it's an Irish royal family, but not really?
I wouldn't mind if people said that, to be honest with you. I really like the royal family, and I think, you know, we kind of wanted to the elements of that we definitely were aiming for. We want to have, you know, a comedy that people will enjoy, and it's not cynical, it's warm, and so I don't know, it's fun and it's silly. It's a bit sillier maybe than the royal family is, and you know, we try to get a certain element of sort of reality or verite into it, but it is in points a little bit heightened and a little bit sillier.
Reality, verite, silly. There's also the whole thing of just what I'm going to have to mention, the Father Ted thing here, that like of how surreal it kind of was, and that was one of the levels of which, you know, people, especially with all the repeats every 5 minutes, they like, even those who didn't get it now get it, kind of thing. The surreal aspect of all of that kind of thing, does Graham bring that more than you might maybe, or do you just, are you bowing in front of the guy?
It's kind of balanced, to be honest. I think he kind of puts us in line sometimes with our suggestions that might be a bit too surreal for him, but the key thing was to make it feel real, and then if there are elements of surreality for comedy reasons, then that's fine.
You know, that's great.
We grew up like obviously watching Father Ted and watching everything that Graham's been involved in the last 15 years, and he was definitely a big influence in us, so you know, I think we've got a similar sense of humour, and I think that's maybe one of the things that sort of drew him to us in the first place.
Right. I was like, I have a little Graham story from 100 years ago when we had a competition. We used to put on these gigs sometimes in of all places, Trinity College, during its rag week thing, 2FM at lunchtime, put on bands there, and he was at one of those gigs, and then later that night we had a competition on the radio and he won tickets to 5 gigs, some little guy from Dublin called Graham Lennon kind of thing, you know. And then years later he starts doing his Father Ted. Right now, the thing is about Father Ted and the thing is about now, it's a long time, like that's 15, 16, 17 years ago. So with him now, with the IT Crowd that he's done in the past, when you're there with him, is it really what you've done too? Because people are forgetting here in my conversation, or what I'm saying to you, you've done a lot of stuff over the last few years as well. You've had a lot of this vaguely. You've had the baby of this online.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, that was a web show we did in 2010, I think it was, called The Taste of Home, and that was where the characters came from this.
And what was that, 5, 10 minute stuff?
Yeah, 5 minutes, five episodes, five minutes long each. And they ended up being a viral ad for a sausage company. So we've done that.
It's
we've
very
done a
hard
few
things funded.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, you know, take the money wherever it comes from. But Yeah, we've done that. We've done a few other web shows. We've done, you know, animated web shows.
And lots of gigs.
Lots of gigs, yeah. We've done Edinburgh 3 times and we've done Dublin Fringe 2 times and we've done our own shows around the country and the UK and stuff as well.
So Weave, what's Weave? How many of you?
There's five of us all together in the group. There's myself, Niall, Rory, Amy and Philippa.
And how does something like that start? Does the five of you meet in the same kind of place and say we all want to do a bit of comedy but we don't necessarily want to be solo on stage?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't think any of us said we're going to be comedians or anything like that, or we're going to be actors or even writers at the time. I was studying TV and film and I wanted to do something extracurricular and make use of the equipment I had access to. So myself and a couple of my classmates said, oh, we'll do a pilot.
Classmates where? What?
In the Bray Institute of Further Education. Studying out there, that college out there, and it was great and taught me an awful lot. So, but it was great because it was in a very talented class, and we sort of, you know, did lots of stuff together. And one of the things we did was we'll do this pilot, and we'll send it off to RTE totally unsolicited, and I'm sure they'll put it on. So we held auditions, but they were all friends of friends. So myself and Niall would have gone to school together in CUS, yeah. And Philippa would have been a friend of a friend, Amy would have been a friend of a friend, Rory would have been a friend of a friend. So we kind of just came together and did those sketches just because funny friends we have, like, come along to this. And it wasn't like that we wanted to be comedians, but we enjoyed working together, and it was just kind of lucky that the five of us sort of happened together because we enjoy working together.
If you're doing that sort of stuff and you want to get it out on TV or whatever, that used to be kind of a way, if you like. Now with the internet, has that been good for you as something, as a stepping stone, as there's no barriers, you can just put it up there and see what happens and hope that somebody would go with it? Because I know it wasn't that Graham was necessarily looking at you all the time on the internet. You actually met him at a gig and then he looked, or was it that he had seen it?
No,
we met him at a gig and then we said, here, do you want to check out our stuff? And didn't expect him to check it out, and checked it out and he emailed us and said.
So you steered him towards the net of 5 minute Walshes. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's handy to have somewhere like that to steer someone towards.
Yeah. I guess we're lucky. When you hassled them on a night out.
I guess we're lucky that YouTube happened after we'd made all our mistakes.
Yeah,
if you know what
we
mean.
We
made some stuff early on that we probably wouldn't put up now.
You've got to find, you know, it takes a while to sort of find your voice, I think, you know what I mean? And so we did a lot of stuff at the start that, you know.
Well, then you guys know what you want to do. You've done this before. Do you sit around a table with Graham, or do you bring it all finished to Graham? I mean, I'm talking about it's a three-part television thing at the moment, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you bring it to Graham, or does he sit around and say, listen, I'll write that bit?
We kind of sit around, I guess, whenever we can. I mean, we're kind of straddling two countries at the moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Graham's got various projects on the go too. So whenever we can, we'll sit down in a group and bash out ideas, and then we'll take it off, develop it, and then we'll send it on to Graham, and he'll say yay or nay about certain parts of it. He'll write some bits of it as well himself, and then it gets all mashed together.
So once you get him on board, he becomes more involved is the way it works, yeah?
Exactly,
or the way
yeah.
it has worked for you,
yeah.
Which is the way you want it to work.
Absolutely.
So is he somewhat like a kind of a producer in the studio? Like, the band is the one that makes the music, but the producer often says, look, guys, that's the 44th take of that song. It's fine. Can we go and have a pint, please? You know, it's finished. And you need somebody to kind of whip you into shape, even though there are five.
Oh, definitely. Like, he's both. He's a writer and he also directed all the shows. And, yeah, he's like the executive producer and all that sort of stuff. So he's the go-to guy insofar as we were able to get sort of our characters and our storylines to a certain point, and then he just brings it on to the next level, you know.
That's great having, you know, one of the writers direct it, because the closer the writer is to the director in that chain of people, I think the easier the comedy comes across, because they know exactly how it should be portrayed when it goes on the page.
Okay, well then let's look at Tony.
Okay.
You're in Egypt.
Yep, Tony's in Egypt. He thinks he's gas. He will, I suppose he'll use comedy to get himself into all kinds of situations. I say comedy, I don't really mean comedy, I mean his style of comedy, which isn't funny.
Yeah, but I mean, like, a lot of the stuff you do is inadvertent. Like, I mean, you know, you box your man in the face at one stage, you take your trousers down for a reason because you think he's a doctor and all the rest of it like that. Like, it's not like you're trying to necessarily be funny in those situations, that's just you being a moron.
Yeah, I guess
or
so.
Or an idiot, or an idiot.
An idiot, yeah, he's probably a little bit unembarrassable as well, I suppose, to some extent. And
he doesn't really have a cynical bone in his body.
No.
I think he's just very sort of he's very honest and sort of doesn't take himself too seriously, but just takes everything on face value, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Which gets him into a lot of bother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, he's prone to being an idiot then, let's put it that way. I tell you, I'll give you a little blast of a little bit. In fact, look, here's a little bit. We're talking about the Walshes, by the way. It's on Thursday nights, two more Thursday nights on RTE, right? Okay, around 9 o'clock or so, is
10:15.
It? 10:15. Okay, fair enough. Oh, yeah, you have to get prime time first, of course. Yeah,
yeah
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
My God.
cracking up. Fair play to you. They have you practically running that place now.
Yeah.
Come on then. I'm only calling you, Rowdy. Hop in. Brilliant. Get in if you're getting in, Rowdy.
I'm trying that.
You know, poor old Rory, if he was only here to defend himself. Like, as I do have to say, though, that your reaction was pretty cool to the fact that, you know, there was a job in the video shop and all the rest of it, etc. And you suddenly found out at the table that there wasn't, because he hasn't been. But you were very nice to your son.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the key thing. I think Rory and his dad, Tony, are, for all intents and purposes, best friends. So, like, we kind of, you know, I suppose the reaction you'd expect is for him to fly off the handle and be really angry. And it just didn't feel like it suited the scene or it suited the character. So he mellowed to it very quickly and moved on.
As opposed to boxing this guy in the face.
Yeah, well, that was an accident.
Oh, yeah. It looked like an accident to me. And you have to do this thing, like, of like as the boyfriend, as the one who, in this mad family. Like, how mad had your family been, supposedly, in this programme? I mean, were you more... are you intellectual? Because I was... Like, I saw you as being intellectually challenged, actually.
And me, personally?
Yeah. Shame. No, I mean in the bloody programme.
Yeah, he is intellectual. Yeah, he is. Oh, he's intellectual to a certain degree. He's certainly more...
Nah, he's not.
He's more intellectual than Tony is, and that's that's actually a big part of episode two. But... yeah, he is. He comes from a colder family and a quieter family. You know what I mean? He's very sort of his mum died and his dad, you know, left, kind of, and he the thing about Graham is that he,
as you say, you don't get on with the father when you hold the flowers there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he craves family warmth of the family that the Walshes have, and it's the kind of thing that his girlfriend Kira kind of wants to move away from, but it's something that he'll always sort of be drawn towards, and that's
she wants to move away even on the night, like when you've had your dinner, let's go out for dinner.
Yeah,
is the big one. Okay, so like, but also, like, you know, you are not a doctor, and that's the most important. That's the thread of the first.
I work in a burger restaurant.
Yeah, and that's the thread of the whole thing. You know. Yeah, so you won't be taking your trousers down again. You weren't even embarrassed when you realised that. It didn't really matter to you. You just move on.
Yeah, you know.
You show your ass to somebody.
Dave,
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Diet of Worms. Then is what we're talking about here, and Graham Lenihan, pre-writing the Walshes, like, in all this thing, like, in terms of the stuff on the internet, that, what else do you do? You say you've been at Edinburgh a bunch of times, which is the world's fair, the whole thing, is the biggest thing you could possibly be at, and three times means that, is that a success? You've been asked back, is that the point?
Oh, no, it's...
Or were you fringe, off?
No, we're in the fringe, but anyone can do the fringe. Yeah. That's the beauty of it, and that's kind of why it's become what it has become. It's, you don't have to be invited to it, but you have to shell out a shedload of money.
Yeah.
It costs us like 15 grand every time we go, and then you make back what you can, depending on how many tickets you can sell. So, but it's exactly it. It's a world's fair, and it's like Comedy University, and you kind of go there and you learn all your lessons there.
You learn all your lessons there. You be what you are. But then Graham Lenihan, who's done all this stuff from the IT crowd to Father Ted, comes along. Does he change what you do? Does he say, no, hold on, this is television, you don't understand, this has to be this, that has to be that? Or is it just a process of evolving into the two of you having worked together without necessarily having your stuff changed, if you know what I mean?
I guess we've kind of always had both irons in the fire. I think the way we perform live is quite different to the way we perform for a camera. I think we've been lucky enough to have had both elements on the go for a number of years simultaneously, so it's two different styles of comedy, I suppose, and we've given it both a go.
And different technique, I really think, you know, because, you know, when we've done, like, you know, stuff online, for example, like a little 5-minute thing, but when you've got to bring that onto a half an hour, you know, format, it's just, you've got to take into account all sorts of different things with regards to how you format and how you you know, plots and subplots and all that sort of things. So you have to sort of change. You have to be aware that it's a different beast, and you have to be able to adapt to that.
But just doing this kind of thing and getting it off the ground and getting it onto the telly and all the rest of it is a very, very strange and bizarre and difficult process, and it takes an awful long time. This is a kind of a plot mini series, probably. You hope or whatever that these three might go on to something, whatever it might be, bigger than that. But like, for instance, I think it's Graham Lennon's first for RT. There's this myth down through the years that RT said no to Father Ted. RT was never in Father Ted.
No, that is true.
If this is his first one, which I think it probably is, what does that actually mean? Like, is this a BBC 4 and RT, or what is it exactly?
Yeah, it's both. It was originally it went originally sort of commissioned through BBC, and then RTÉ came involved and it became a co-production. So it's airing next Thursday, starting on BBC Four.
And is BBC Four a good kind of a platform for all this kind of thing? Have you been involved in it and checked it out? Because isn't there something in the papers lately about BBC Three and BBC Four maybe getting scrapped? In fact, I think they might be scrapping Three now. Is that it?
Exactly.
And not Four. They're keeping Four.
Yeah,
Four's the one with all the good rock documentaries.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, the three episode thing is a thing that they've done quite a few times before with sort of really good shows like The Thick of It and 2012 and stuff like that. I think it's sort of a little tried and trusted thing that BBC Four have been doing to sort of get a show off the ground and sort of get to know the characters a little bit better before you go to like Six. So thankfully it wasn't BBC Three, because that's going just online.
Unfortunately,
which is a shame, because BBC Three is a really good platform for young comedy, and you know, we could easily have been on that. And
well, then are these three programs a good platform for the future for Diet of Worms and your working relationship with Graham, or like to go on further to do loads of programs?
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, all we need is a commission. We're ready to go. We've got plenty of ideas, and we're brainstorming at the moment as well. So we just wanted to green light it, and we're going to fly.
Holy God, he just said brainstorming and green light in the one sentence. God, Hollywood, here we come.
Pro.
Let's hope it won't get lost. A languish in development hell.
Exactly.
All right, listen, guys, thank you very much for dropping in, and let's just get it again. The first episode went out on Thursday night in RTÉ1 at 10:15. I presume prime time is on Thursday. It is, yeah, okay, after prime time, whatever. The first episode is going to be on BBC Four next Thursday at 10. Can people catch it on the player from RTÉ?
It's on the player, yeah, on RTÉ at the moment, episode one, and then episode two will be on.
Yeah, I saw it last night around midnight. It was repeated on RTÉ2, was that it?
RTÉ1, yeah.
RTÉ1, was it? Yeah. Okay, and by the way, if you want to see more Diet of Worms stuff, you look up Diet of Worms on YouTube. And by the way, what is more Diet of Worms stuff that isn't the Walsh's? Is there?
There is.
Yeah. Plenty.
Yeah, we did a few web series. There's an animation we did called Puffin' Cat, and Dublin Stories, and a few sketches on our, the Diet of Worms, YouTube. .com/TheDietOfWorms.
Wow, we have it all. Listen, guys, thank you very much for dropping in to talk to us on the programme this morning. Shane Langan and Niall Gaffney, thanks very much, folks. And onwards and upwards. And good luck, by the way, with the rest of it.
Thanks.
Next Thursday and the following Thursday. Take it easy. 2FM.